Good Wednesday morning. I'm Anna Palmer, and welcome to your Playbook audio briefing sponsored by Morgan Stanley.
And I'm Jake Sherman. We're kicking off the day with some news. Over the last 24 hours, New Jersey Congressman Frank Lobiondo and Texas Congressman Ted Poe have announced their retirements. Several sources tell us there are likely to be more departures. On Republican officials' radar, Congressman Bob Goodlatte, the Virginia Republican who is term limited atop the Judiciary Committee, and Martha McSally, the Arizona Republican who's likely to run for a Senate seat. Goodlatte's office did not respond to a request for comment, and McSally's office did not have a comment.
It was a good night for Democrats last night in New Jersey and Virginia, where they put up wins in the governor's mansions. Dave Wasserman also notes that raw votes cast were up 16% from 2013, and then in Charlottesville, votes were up 31%. Maine voted to expand Medicaid, and Manchester, New Hampshire had its highest turnout this decade and elected a Democrat to its mayorship for the first time in 14 years. President Donald Trump responded to Ed Gillespie's loss in Virginia by tweeting, "Ed Gillespie worked hard, but did not embrace me or what I stand for. Don't forget, Republicans won 4 out of 4 House seats, and with the economy doing record numbers, we will continue to win, even bigger than before."
The New York Times has a big picture look on how Trumpism without Trump was a losing formula in Virginia. Jessica Post, the executive director of the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee, said flipping 14 seats from red to blue in Virginia is the biggest Democratic pickup since 1899. That's a while ago. Virginia Congressman Scott Taylor, who represents Virginia Beach, told the New York Times that he believes the electoral outcomes in his state is a referendum on this administration. In the Northeast, Maine voted to become the first state to approve Medicaid expansion by popular vote, and in Manchester, New Hampshire, they had their highest turnout this decade and elected a Democrat to its mayorship for the first time in 14 years.
Meanwhile, President Trump's trip in Asia continues. After the White House called a trip to the DMZ cliche in Washington, he attempted to go with the South Korean president, but was thwarted by bad weather. Trump also addressed the South Korean National Assembly, and in his remarks congratulated the Korean woman who won the U.S. Women's Open at his own Trump National Golf Club in New Jersey earlier this year. The White House described this speech as historic to reporters on Air Force One. And in China, Trump toured the Forbidden City.
Here's one for the record books. Despite pledging to foster a more open and inclusive process in the House, Speaker Paul Ryan has set a record for the most closed rules in a session, barring lawmakers for the 49th time from offering amendments on a bill, Rachel Bade reports. Ryan has yet to allow a single piece of legislation to be governed by what we call an open rule in Washington. That allows members to propose changes to legislation on the House floor. Meanwhile, on tax reform, Trump's wooing of Democrats has not been working. The Washington Post reports that Trump called into a meeting Gary Cohn was having with Senate Democrats and told them he asked his accountant how much he'd been affected by the GOP tax bill. After about a week of good news reports on the tax bill, Republicans are now on the defensive after a new analysis shows that middle-income earners could see tax increases.
The Washington Post also has an important piece up on how the Senate Republican tax bill could delay a major corporate tax cut and other measures that could dramatically alter the cost and impact of the overhaul. Republican senators are also planning to eliminate the state and local tax deduction, going farther than the House, which has retained the popular tax break. It's important to note, the corporate rate is sacrosanct for many House Republicans. And behind the scenes, President Trump has taken a very hard line on the 20% rate. Eliminating the state and local tax deduction would be a big problem for the Republican lawmakers from New York, New Jersey, and California. It's important to keep in mind that the high tax states are represented by Democrats in the Senate. And Paul Demko has a piece up that is important to watch. He writes that Obamacare signups are actually surging despite Trump cuts. It's unclear if this will continue and if more Americans will ultimately sign up for coverage.
Following the deadly shooting in Texas, senators are trying to find a way forward on gun control legislation. Sung Min Kim reports that Senate Majority Whip John Cornyn is talking with at least 3 Democrats about legislation that would better ensure the criminal histories of potential gun buyers are properly transferred to the FBI. Senators Jeff Flake and Martin Heinrich are separately working on legislation meant to ensure all domestic violence convictions in the military are captured in the federal database.
Vice President Mike Pence is going to Texas today to visit victims of the shooting, flying with the Vice President, Karen Pence, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, and Texas Representatives Will Hurd and Henry Cuellar. Local law enforcement will brief the group and they'll participate in a prayer vigil. And Rachel Bade has an update to the fallout from a story she broke on sexual harassment allegations against Representative Brenda Lawrence's top aide. Bade now reports that Lawrence has placed her chief of staff on leave. Subscribe to Playbook at politico.com/playbook.